up in the morning with the alarm. Do I hit the snooze button again for the fifth time? Or do I have to get up and face the day? Will anyone miss me? Will I miss anyone? And these are the easy choices. Our lives are filled with difficult choices, life-changing choices. Should I ask her to marry me? That's a pretty important choice. Like my job, is this really worth the effort? Should I go? The other day, actually just a few days ago, I was sitting in a restaurant, and I never wanted to sit in a restaurant, that's the other story I'm in. I was sitting at the car place, I was having my car inspected, and there was a lady at the stool and table, just a few feet away from me, and it was obvious that she was collecting papers, and I said, are you a teacher? She said, yeah. Went back to collecting her papers. And as she was collecting the papers, I observed that she sighed a lot. When she wasn't doing that, she was, So I teased her about the yawning, and she says, it comes with the job. And I said, what about the sighing? She said, well, I sigh over the student's choices to study or not to study, to pass or to fail. And she said, the sighs are the offering grace so that they can have yet another chance. I wonder this morning is, does God sigh when he listens to us? Does he sigh when he offers grace so that we have another option? Now, I'm not God, thank God, but I do get to listen to a lot of people as pastor, and sometimes I think I feel like a teacher, maybe sighing before I feel that I need to respond. Now, without trying to sound pessimistic, without trying to sound too pessimistic, I fear that you and I play games with grace. That is, some of us try to fly by, hoping we come close enough. But it's not like we have to do life alone. I mean, we're surrounded by great illustrations and examples and wise people, parents, and other old people. They know stuff because they've already done it, or they've done it. And we have all of these examples. We have the law of the land. We have what's known as common sense, though that's not as available as much today as it used to be. We have the example of all those people who have failed and all those people who have succeeded. And I'm just not sure that the best way to do life is to play the odds. What are the chances that I'll get caught? What's the worst thing that could happen? I mean, it's not like I'm committing a crime. I'm just going to play hooky. And just today, maybe tomorrow. But at the end of the day, our choices seem to play such a big part in what we get to enjoy or what we might suffer. Now, what I'd like to show you this morning are choices that are in the Bible. We're going to look at three of them, three choices that were given. And perhaps from the choice that was given and the response to that, you and I might learn some things that might make sense for our lives today. Now, I'd like to suggest that in our conversation this morning, as we look at these three choices, that there is an answer to a question that you and I need to come up with. And the question is, who will you choose? And it might be worth our consideration to think about this as we come to our next decision, or the next decision, or the next decision. I invite you to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you have your Bible, or want to open it, or use a pew Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find the nation of Israel, all the nation of Israel, that had recently escaped from Egypt. And they're now camped along the Jordan River, a little bit north of the Dead Sea, across from the city of Jericho. They had been wandering for 40 years because of their bad choices, or because of their parents' bad choices. And Moses, at this point in our study this morning, he is 6 chapters into a 33-chapter talk to the people. And chapter 34 is basically his obituary. And what he's saying is, wake up, choose wisely, lest you also die in the wilderness. Because that's what happened to the whole generation of Israelites who had chosen poorly. They had an example of how not to do life. And Moses had just finished reviewing the Ten Commandments with the people. And these were to be the foundation upon which they would then build their lives, that they may, as he said in verse 2 of chapter 6, may enjoy long life. And then Moses set before them a rather clear question. Who will you choose to follow? Listen to some of Moses' words, beginning at verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk upon the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your forehead. Write them on your door frames, and your houses, and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of Israel. Now, these words that Moses issued out to the people of Israel, they were a call to choose who the people would follow. Who will you choose to follow? Now, Moses suggested that following God would be the wise choice, actually the wisest choice. Moses' call to choose wisely reviews the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20. Listen again to his words in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, and he's speaking to the entire nation. And I don't know how he did that. They were all camped there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Actually, he is the only God. And that becomes important for the nation of Israel, because they'll be surrounded by people who believe that there are many other gods. Verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It's a call, it's a challenge to choose love, to choose a commitment of their entire being to God. And then he finished this section by saying, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Truth. We can't remember anything. But you and I manage to remember the things that are important to us. We have certain phone numbers that we know, although now we probably know what the speed dial number is. We have names of loved ones that we know. We have the location and the directions to our favorite pizza shop or where we can get good barbecue. We know these kind of things. We know how to get to and from work, to and from school, and many other things. We know these things. And Moses is calling the people to choose to plant God's words in their hearts and their minds. As he said in verse 6, that they be on your heart. He wanted them to know where to go for life-changing truth. This was important. If we're going to remember something, Moses is saying, remember these words, the words that the Lord spoke. Who will you choose? Who will you choose to listen to for wisdom? Who will you choose to listen to follow in daily life as they give you ideas and direction? And my friends, this is so much more important than picking a church, picking a place where you'll sit for an hour on Sunday morning. Moses was pressing the people to decide who was going to call the shots in their lives, who was going to help them decide the way that they would live their lives, who would help them choose the way that they would actually make other choices. And this for us is a foundation question. Is God number one? Is God my God? Say that with me. Is God my God? That's an important question. Will I follow God's lead? Or will I call the shots? Is God going to be our God? Or is God going to be our helper? Will I accept God's right and wrong, or will I make that call on the fly? And the reason this is so important is because when we reduce God from God to our helper, or to one of our resources, He ceases to be God for us. We distance ourselves from the God of you. We say that I'm wiser, I can make better choices on my own. But Moses is here reminding us, who will you choose? And Moses was serious. He was serious about them planting these ideas, these words, all over their lives. He even offered ideas on how to keep God front and center in their lives. Look at verse 7. He said, impress them upon your children. We do that. We drop our kids off places so they can learn stuff. Talk about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foot. We now do t-shirts. On your forehead, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, I believe that Moses would not have been against church. He would not have been against Sunday school. He would not have been against Bible study. But he would have guided and was guiding the people to add those additional things to what they did at home. Because that's where the teaching, the modeling, and the learning was to take place. In their homes, in their yards, on their way to the store, whatever they were doing, they were to talk about God. They were to be in the process of training the next generation so that they could train the next generation. And the best life lessons, I believe, are those we learn while in the middle of doing life. These truths are anchored in experience. And so, to that, Moses added to the nation of Israel the idea of some other learning experiences. And we have excelled at the other learning experiences, and for some of us, to the loss of doing it in our homes. That's Moses, the first call. I'd like you to jump with me forward to Joshua. Now, Moses has now died. Joshua has led the people of Israel into the promised land. He has guided the conquest of the land. He has divided the land among the tribes. And he is now looking with the nation of Israel at a future that seemed to involve growth and prosperity. That was on the horizon. And he was now ready to step down. He was going to step down from being their leader. He was going to launch them on this next phase of their lives. And Joshua offers a final challenge. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods. Now I want to stop there for a moment. The nation of Israel had escaped with God's help from Egypt. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until a whole generation died off because, well, they were disobedient. And still, after all of that and the conquering of the land, some of these people were still carrying around the idols and gods that they had worshipped before. And actually, the gods that their ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt, they called them to serve the Lord instead. Verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Who will you choose? Joshua was repeating the question that Moses had been teaching the people of Israel. as we read this, it doesn't seem a big deal for us. Now, we don't carry around false gods. We don't have little statues that we worship, but I hope you don't. And we don't offer sacrifices under the trees. You'll probably get arrested if you started doing something like that. And we go to church. Most Sundays, we go to church. And maybe we don't have the God statue, but can we honestly say that God alone drives our lives? That our every choice is attached to our relationship with and understanding of God. That our every choice is attached to something that God has taught us. That God is part of, maybe the main part of, deciding how to fill our calendar, how to use or share our wealth. That God guides our choices on how to be a neighbor, or even what to do with our free time. Joshua said, "We will serve the Lord." This wasn't a hobby for him. This was not a job. It was a way of life. A way that informs our employment. A way that informs our hobby. What we do, what we embrace, what we adopt, what we take into our lives is filtered through our relationship with God and the words that He has given to us. Who will you choose? Moses, who will you choose? Joshua, who will you choose? I'd like to make one final stop on our leap to the almost end of the Bible. The Apostle John, writing to the churches that he may have planted. And the topic is life choices. We're in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. John is elderly at this point, 80, 90 years old. He had worked the church. He had planted churches. He had been tortured by the enemy. He had been left on a rock in the sea to die and still alive. And he's writing. And he's writing to his beloved children, the people in the churches. And this is what he wrote, John 2. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. The two-faced thing doesn't really exist for one or the other. For everything in the world, verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world that its desire passes away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Moses had a very clear challenge that was attached to the Ten Commandments. Joshua had a very clear challenge that was attached to what Moses had taught, which was taught to the Ten Commandments, attached to the Ten Commandments. And John is offering 1,400 years later, after Joshua's sermon, he's offering, as one of Jesus' 12, a similar message, a challenge to choose wisely who or what we might follow as we set the course for daily life. Moses, Joshua, John offered calls that remain focused, eyes on God, mind set on God's word, His truth, and lives committed to living out God's ideals. And whether about to embrace a new life or fully engage in a chosen lifestyle, God speaks directly to our life direction. Who will you choose to decide who or how much is going to be mine from the world around me? And these three men, Moses, Joshua, and John, asked or made the same statement. Please choose God. Please choose God. These men ate for the people that they led. And they knew things about the people that they led. And so as they offered this challenge, they were speaking to a legitimately needy audience. The people of Israel had not learned. And if we continue to read through the Old Testament, we'll see that they fail again and again, returning to God and then failing again. Moses and Joshua kind of sandwiched the period of time where they set these foundations. And by the time we get to the New Testament, by the time John is writing, we already see, touch, roots that have been established. And so another reminder was needed. And so here, the Apostle John, 1 John 2:15-17, all this sparkles, attracts our attention. It cultivates our feeble hearts. It ensnares our minds. And it leads us away from what is truly good for us. It's not a new thing. It's what Joshua was dealing with. It was what Moses was dealing with. And it's what we deal with today. Now, is John saying that everything is bad? No. Is John saying that we should not have faith? Of course not. He's merely reminding us to ask who or what are we following? And in regard to this, as I was thinking about how to make sure we got this, some of my easiest years, the easiest years to hear God and to obey God, were some of the leanest years. Years when I owned the fewest things. The years when Carol and I had the fewest distractions in our lives. And what I've discovered as I've grown, as I've added to my life, that the more I own, even the good things, I find myself busier with the stuff than with other people, or even with God. It's almost as if the things that I have own me. And so I understand Moses. I understand Joshua. I understand John. But the calling now is for you and me, because we're here today. We can do the very same thing with our business. We're busy with our careers. We're busy with our families. We're busy with our toys. We're busy with our hobbies. We're busy with our adventures. We're busy posting all of this stuff so other people can be busy with what we're busy about. But they're just distractions unless we invite God to guide our steps. It's not just getting a job, but which job is best for me? It's not just having things, it's which things are truly worthy of my time. And hobbies are great, but which ones are going to be truly healthy for my soul? We all love a good adventure, but which ones will add to me, to my walk with Jesus? Choosing wisely sometimes gives us time to be available. Earlier this past week, I spent a couple of days out on the other side of Lancaster out at an evangelism conference. And in between there, I had a meal in a restaurant. And my waitress, Tiana, came over. And I understand that waitresses want you to buy more so that they can get a tip. But she's highlighting stuff on the menu and then realized pretty quickly that she had actually eaten some of this stuff. And she was pointing for stuff out. She says, well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. So I ordered it. It was very good. And she said, this. And I said, okay, I'll have that for my main course. And this other guy, this sort of rounder guy, I don't know if he is, a little more round. But anyway, he's walking by, and he stops, and he sits at my booth. And I'm not in a hurry, because I've chatted my friend. And we sat there, and we chatted. We chatted about what he does for a living. He was the manager of the restaurant. He asked me what I did for a living. I told him what I was. And he was enthralled because he's Catholic and he understands the Bible and Scripture. And because I wasn't in a hurry, I let him talk. And then I asked questions. And then I let him ask questions and I answered questions. And ultimately, I got to share with him, with Tiana, the people in the booth around me, because I'm not quiet. I shared with them about Jesus. And how it's not just the church you go to, it's about the relationship you have with this person, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, he didn't make a decision. Tiana didn't make a decision. Neither one of them were turned off. They didn't disappear. They were there right to the very end. But you know, if I was in a hurry because I was enamored with all the stuff in my life, having not had in my life to be kind for other people, that might not have happened. I might have just eaten and run. And as I think about what we're talking about here today, who will we choose? We have the option of entertaining ourselves to death. We have the opportunity of running ourselves ragged, running ourselves into the ground, literally playing with all of our actual truth. Or we can figure out what is best for us, leaving enough time so that we can actually be available for others who want a piece of us, who need to know what we know. And so this morning, I want you to choose wisely who you will follow. Because if you choose wisely, and if you follow Him closely, He will help you set the pace of life whereby you will be available in those moments where you need to be available. And this question is a bold challenge. We ought to ponder as we try to live godly lives in the world in which we find ourselves. You see, Moses' challenge was to a people with a history of chasing any god that their neighbor worshipped. And Joshua challenged the people about to face a new home in a new land filled with false gods. And John challenged people armed with Jesus. He spoke on the other side of death, burial, and resurrection, and the launch of the church. He spoke on the other side of that. But it was still a land filled with shiny things. And after all these challenges, and after all these years, I'm here before you today to say it's the same problem. These challenges are waiting for you and me. And as we leave this building, and some of you are already thinking about them, you don't really have your attention. But those challenges are waiting as we walk out of this building. Because you and I live in a land among people who play with a variety of false religious, false ideologies. And they want us to adopt what they believe. And you will talk with these people at work. You will talk with these people in your neighborhood. You will talk with these people everywhere you go. And if you're not prepared, you will absorb and you will become. We live in a land among people who worship their things, not God. Or they worship their pleasures, not God. And they will take us down with them. They will invite us to play with their toys. They will invite us to have the great experiences they have. And they are great experiences. They feel good. They are fun. They are an adventure. And we could be caught up in that as well. And we live in a land among people who are still distracted by shiny things. So I won't ask you to raise your hand, but it'd be interesting to know how many people this week, the last 7 days, gave in and bought a new shiny thing. Something that's going to consume more of them, more of their life, more of their time. And I think this is important business for us. Because, as we heard earlier this morning, we are part of a family that's 130 years old, the church family. And their original vision was to reach the people of the Blairtown area, to bring them Jesus, to influence the community. And I know over the century and a quarter that the church has been here, we have struggled as a church, as other churches do, we have struggled with being committed to influencing the community, to being influenced by the community, then pressing back to influence the community, to being consumed with what happens here, forget them. But that's not why we're here. Church doesn't exist so we can go home and say, we had a great service. Church exists so that we can go home to our neighborhoods and our workplaces better equipped to be the church. And so as we think about these concerns that Moses had with the nation of Israel, the concerns that Joshua had with the nation of Israel, the concerns that John had with these early churches are the same concerns that you and I should have for our own lives. This is serious business. You see, who or what we choose to follow will determine if we are able to set things down so that we might be available for God and for others, or if we might be open to considering whether we might actually love them and serve them. And so I ask again, or say again, choose wisely